And I'm not advocating bad conduct, but the heart's a very tricky thing. You never know what's going on in somebody's heart. I've talked to guys who were bikers. We're not talking about guys who ride motorcycles. We're talking about bikers. Okay? Guys, I had the privilege of discipling a guy years ago who was a bouncer over in Lower Manhattan, and he had come to know Jesus Christ. And if you would, if you'd look at this guy, you'd probably say you'd probably cross the street. So sometimes looking at the book, the cover doesn't tell you a lot, and every once in a while, conduct will actually not tell you a lot. If you look at David's conduct sometimes, and I understand we're talking about Old Testament, and there wasn't the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. And yet, by New Testament standards, they knew God. I've come to a conclusion of something in my mind. I'm going to try to take care of myself, all right? You take care of yourself, and I'm going to take care of myself. And if we would all, it's like the old timers in the Midwest when I grew up, I could hear my mom even saying it now. She'd tell somebody, just sweep your own porch, all right? Sweep your own porch. So I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, because there are some things said here concerning Moses. And it talks about in Acts chapter 7, about Moses Stephen's sermon. And as Luke writes it, he writes that about the church in the wilderness. And now we know once again that it wasn't the church that we have today. But they, as a group of believers, had chosen of God, had been delivered from Egypt, and now were in the wilderness. And the children of Israel were never called a church in the land of Egypt. They were called a church in the wilderness. You and I, as saved people today, Egypt being a type of the world, or is the world being a type of Egypt, however you want to address it, this is, you and I have been called out of that, but what we're in right now, this is not heaven, if you've mistaken anything tonight, all right? Went to a funeral this afternoon. Went to the hospital this afternoon, Deb and I. And, you know, people still dying. People still getting sick. They're still digging holes down at Resurrection. This is not heaven. This is a wilderness. And we are just pilgrims of the Word of God. That's a Bible word. We're just pilgrims going through this thing. But even in all of that, God gives us about 8 things that Moses, either his parents began in him, or he continued on himself. These things are character qualities that we as believers, we are the church. We know that this building is not the church. You and I are the church. There's a verse, and if you just go to verse number 6, because it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God." That just that one statement. There's a lot of things to major on. I was taught as a young man, don't major on minors. But one of the major things to major on is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without faith, all of the mechanics that we go through are absolutely null and void. I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and all of a sudden have done a lot of things in 40-some years, but none of it was coupled to genuine faith, forsaking all, I trust Him. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, and look at verse number, starting with verse number 23. It says, "By faith Moses..." I still got this little frog, so if I stop, you be patient with me. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, now that his parents firstly got involved. By faith Moses, verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But you've got to understand something. By the time Pharaoh's daughter got him, he was just an infant. His mother ended up being his nursemaid, and there was an involvement there. But the Bible says that Moses came to a point when he just refused. And you're going to find at that point was he was 40 years old. All right. All of this, all of the 120 years of Moses' life is divided into 40s. The first 40, the middle 40, and the last 40. And those of us who are a little bit older in this room tonight, keep something in mind. His ministry really didn't start until he was 80 years old. So that might give you just a little bit of hope in the remaining years that the Lord gives all of us here. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, any one of these things, I'd like to stop, and I probably will at a point, but we won't at this time. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. You entered into something tonight that's a reproach to the world. You understand that? Do you know that the one occupation to the Egyptians that was a reproach? Sheep herding. Bible says in the Old Testament, shepherds were a reproach to the Egyptians. I have a great shepherd tonight. My Savior was called the Lamb of God. You see, the world, we almost have to develop a little tougher hide. Don't be afraid. Don't get upset when the world looks down on you as a believer. They have looked down on believers all the way back to the beginning. It's a reproach to name the name of Christ by the standards of the world we live in at any era. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, the repayment of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Let's just take a moment and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, no man has a right to enter into the Word of God on his own, Lord. And those who would do it in the flesh. But Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would open our eyes tonight that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, may the words of these on these pages become real to us even tonight. May they change us forever. Lord, this book changed my life. This book meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to know more about God. And the Word of God was put in front of me. It not only saved me, but it gave me a blueprint for living. It redeemed my life from destruction. It gave me a purpose. It answered the eternal question, why am I here? And I found that purpose in Jesus Christ. I found not only a hope for this earthly life, Lord, but I found a hope that goes beyond. Father, may you just capture our attention even tonight in Jesus' name and for his sake. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Matter of fact, if you would take the church epistles and pretty much go from, I would say, it have to be the end of the book of Acts. If you go all the way to the end of the church epistles, you'll find a continuity just in from Acts to Hebrews. So all those church epistles and all of those pastoral epistles, if you were to pluck them out of the Bible and at the end of the book of Acts continue to read, you'll find a continuity. You see, the church was something that was hidden, though, in the Old Testament. The church was something that they didn't see. There must be a hiding. And if you go into the book of Psalms and into the book of Proverbs, it talks about hiding the Word of God in your heart. There's a hiding that has to take place if I am going to begin this. There's no way that you and I are going to accomplish without faith. It is impossible to please God. Now, there's a lot that we can do in the flesh. And there is such a fine line at times. This is why sometimes I'm convinced just in my own heart, and maybe it has a lot to do with my personality, but I'm just convinced in my own heart, sometimes it's just good to slow down. That doesn't mean do nothing. That doesn't mean sit on your hands. We have not sat on our hands for 35 years at this church. But we've tried to wait on God. We've tried. We've prayed about things. There must be a hiding, though. Tonight, you've got something hidden inside you if you're saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know if that... And when we say this sometimes, and I'm sitting back there and I hear Pastor Mike say it, or maybe another preacher comes in, and sometimes, you know, you just have to kind of just really pay attention. Do you understand tonight that you've got God living inside you? You do. You do. And you know what He wants to do? He wants to guide. He wants to lead. He wants to have the preeminence in your life. He wants to make you and I usable so that He can be glorified. And it all starts with a hiding. Somebody took the Word of God, presented it to you, the Spirit of God took it, and He hid it inside you. And now I do the same thing, only as a saved man. I take the Word of God, and I read it. The Bible talks about hiding the Word of God in your heart as a young man, that you might not sin. There is no way of succeeding. You've heard it so much, I'm sure it just gets so, you get tired of hearing it. But I think it's needful to repeat things. I had an old timer that used to tell me, you throw enough mud at the wall, some of it sticks. And you know what we've done around here for 35 years? Just keep throwing the mud at the wall. Some of it sticks. I had a young man come up to me. He's a young man. 40's young to me now. It's like I have to catch myself when I say those things. And the guy's 40. Guy's mid 40, maybe 40 years old. And I'm saying, calling him a young man. I had a conversation with him in the parking lot the other day. He was passing through and we chit-chatted a little bit. And he said to me, you know, you said something in a message one time. Now, I've said a lot of things in messages one time, all right? And I'm almost afraid when somebody says, you know, you said one thing in a message one time. I cannot tell you what message I had. I'm sure I've quoted this verse. But you know what he said to me? He said, and him and I are pretty good friends. Not only brothers in Christ, but we're pretty good friends. He said to me, you quoted a verse out of Proverbs that the servant is, the borrower is servant to the lender. Thank you. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I've got a little bit of debt in my life. If you own a house, unless you're making really big bucks, you have a mortgage payment. a car that used to cost $7,000 now costs $37,000. It's almost impossible to buy a car with cash. I know folks that have done it over the years. Do you know what this young man said to me? And he's one of our congregation. He said, that principle stuck in my mind, and from that day on, I worked to get myself out of debt. You know what he said to me? He said, other than my house, I don't owe any man anything. You know what I was doing that day? I was just taking a little bit of dirt and throwing it against the wall. You keep throwing dirt against the wall, you know what's going to happen? Some of it's going to stick. Something has to be hidden. Then we moved on. If you look at the verse number 24, and this is review here tonight, and hopefully we'll move on. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we said that there, in my mind, there's just two simplistic points to this. Number one, always remember who you are. We tend to forget that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 talks about sons and daughters of God. You see, ultra simplistic tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. The problems that I've ever had in my life, whether they be financial, whether they be spiritual, and I think everything is spiritual, whether they be spirit, soul, or body, after 41 years of being saved, I've probably got 12 verses that I go back to every time. I could care less how many hairs are on an angel's wing. Now, as Bible believers, somebody should have chimed up and said, oh, Brother Pat, angels don't have wings. Right, I understand. We need to just get to that point where we learn to remember who we are. You and I are sons and daughters of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ultra simplistic tonight. Here's what I've learned about the ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. I think sometimes we make church. Here's what I really believe. I think Christianity is rather easy. Love God, love your neighbor. Do you know that Jesus boiled 614 Old Testament laws down to two? Love God, love your neighbor. Do you know what's discouraged me more than once? Not Christianity. Never Jesus Christ. You know what's discouraged me sometimes? Church work. Because that's what we get our eyes on. We get our eyes on church work because it's what we can see. I can't honestly tell you I've really ever liked the color of this carpet. I'm not too sure I'm crazy about the color of this paint. What in the world has that got to do with Christianity? Absolutely nothing. But that's what we focus on many times. We get away from the fact that I am related to Almighty God. Now that doesn't make me better than the guy living down the street who does not know Jesus Christ. That makes me more responsible. Yes, it's a blessing. It's a privilege. It doesn't make you and I better. But it's those little things over the years that have simplified my life. Because when other things do come in, and the discouragements and the problems, and they will, you're not going to get away from it. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. I'm sorry, folks. You live long enough, you're going to the funeral home. You're going to the hospital. I don't care. Who's the old-timer? Jack LaLanne. Even Jack LaLanne died. Now, he died pretty wealthy, but even Jack LaLanne. I don't care, beloved. And that's not to say, oh, we don't. My point is this. You want to know something? It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. But we sometimes get focused. And it's difficult. I understand that. We get so focused on our little problems. And I've got them, and you've got them. But you know what I have to do? Keep your eyes on the bigger picture. I hope the old heretic is right. I hope May 21st is the day. I was looking for him yesterday. And the day before that, go back 6 months, go back 5 years, I was looking for him. I hope the old heretic's right. As we're winging our way, if he's going with me, I hope he's, you know, I may pat him on the shoulder and say, God bless you, brother. Now, all in all, we're going to find out he's not. Don't ever forget who you are. And don't ever forget where you came from. Don't ever forget who you were. Go to Colossians with me. We took you to Colossians. Go to Ephesians. Yeah, I think I even stumbled on this the last time. Go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse number 2 and verse number 13. Something has to be hid. Your salvation started with a hiding. I've got something hid inside me tonight, and if you're saved, you've got something hid inside. I've never seen this person, God, Jesus. I've never seen him. He's hid, but according to the Word of God, he's hidden inside me. Then there comes a point where I have to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We talk about we're in, but we're not of. There came a time when all of a sudden at 40 years of age, Pharaoh looked around and there was some thing, or Moses looked around. He had done some things wrongly. He had killed a man and he looked around and all of a sudden he refused. He got to the point though where he refused to be called. You know what? Choices. It is so important to make good choices. I can take you back if we had the time, which we won't. I can show you points when I didn't make a good choice. And it cost me. Bad choices will always cost you. Good choices always pay. Maybe not in dollars and cents. We made a choice, what was it, 35 years ago. We just made a choice to leave our comfort zone with Mel Sabaka. I just tagged along. I didn't know what we were doing. I tagged along with the man. He was my Apostle Paul. But do you understand what's happened in 35 years? The family that we left behind, and now my mom and dad are in heaven, and my father-in-law is in heaven, and mom's almost 90, and I haven't seen my brothers and sisters for years. But you know what God did in that? He gave me a new family. God said, if you're willing to give something up, I'll give it back a hundredfold. It doesn't always happen in dollars and cents. It can happen in relationships. Relationships that you begin to build with people. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 2 and then verse 13. Wherein in time past, and there's your key phrase, in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now shoot across the page to verse number 13, at least in my Bible it's across the page. Because he goes from where in time past, and Paul says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Don't ever forget who you are, but don't ever forget who you were. Something needs to be hidden. Then something needs to be refused. Refusing this world. Now look at verse number 25. Go back to Hebrews with me. Look at verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Who in their right mind would do that? Moses did it. And Moses was the leader of the church in the wilderness, according to what Stephen wrote and Stephen preached and Luke wrote. He said Moses was in the church in the wilderness and he was their leader. Well, what was his message? His message was something had to be hidden. His message was something had to be refused. And then his message was there needs to be a choosing. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Would you go to with the people of God? I have in my notes two words underlined. Decision time. Many times pastor will preach or somebody will preach and at the end we'll give what's called an invitation. And somebody will say, and I've watched folks over the years, I can remember being in the position myself, and I would stand there and grip the pew in front of me. We had pews at that time, and I would grip that pew and I would just tell myself, not today, not today. I'm not going to make a decision today. Do you know what I made? I made a decision. That's God's truth. I made a decision. I walked out of that church and I said, I got by again without trusting Jesus Christ. Man, I'm safe for another week. You know, 19 years old, 18 years old, 17 years old. Got saved when I was 20. Oh, I made it again. I didn't have to make a decision. You made a decision. I made a decision. That man or that woman who right in the middle just gets under such conviction that they just storm out of the game. We've had them do it. We've had people storm out of funerals. We've had people sit on the front row in the family of the deceased and just get under such conviction. And believe me, I know, you know, when you've been doing this for a while, you know conviction. It's more than just antsy-pantsy. Okay? And just get up and just bolt out of the thing, man. We make decisions. We choose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. But now that I'm saved, and something's been hidden, and I have begun this journey of refusing things, but you know what I have to do? You and I have to come to a place, and this one choosing rather to suffer affliction is going to lead us into the very next one. Choose this day who you will serve. Joshua, last chapter. If the devil has blessed you, then serve him. If God has blessed you, serve him. But choose. You get over there in the book of the Revelation, and you get into the talking about the churches, and the last one talks about being lukewarm. And he makes the Spirit of God makes it a very amazing statement. He says, I would that you were either hot or cold. But he said you're lukewarm. Now, I don't know. Think of taking I like to drink Coke. I know it's bad for me, but I like it anyhow. I tell you, the worst tasting thing in the entire world is lukewarm Coke. Well, man, when it's cold, I'll guzzle that whole can down and one just let it fly. But you know what God tells us right now? Get in the boat. Or get out of the boat. Now, you stay put where you're getting fed around here. But I'm trying to make this point. There comes a point where you have to choose. You have to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You have entered into a family that the world despises. And if it bothers you, you just have to, get a little more of the Word of God in you. And I'll tell you what you also have to do. You have to find some older saint, because that's what I did. At the age of 20, I got around an old saint who was probably late 40s at the time. So by the time I was 25, he was 52. Do you know why I followed him here? We did. And this isn't breaking the arm to pat. We're just making points here. You know why I followed him? I needed him. You said, you worshipped Mel Sabaka? Absolutely not. But I couldn't stand on my own. I'd only been saved 5 years. I couldn't stand on my own. I'm not ashamed to say that. And when I got to the point where I could stand on my own, you know what God did? God kept kind of pushing me out on my own. But you know what? There comes a point where you not only stay in the Word of God. This is why church is so important. It's a place where you're not only getting fed the Word of God, but you have the privilege, we have the privilege, to couple up with another older saint. That doesn't mean I didn't live on Mel Sabaka's doorstep. But I did get close enough to him to watch his life and to ask questions. And I wasn't deep. I'm not deep in my mind. So it's like, you know, if it works, I keep it. If it doesn't, flip it out. Who needs something that doesn't work? But you must choose. You must choose. Can you go to Isaiah? I think I took you there last time. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. You know that Jesus Christ even chose? Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Hebrews chapter 13, don't go there, stay in Isaiah. Hebrews chapter 13, they talked about Jesus Christ suffering without the gate, that bearing his reproach. There's a lot being portrayed as Christianity today. I'm going to make a comment to you, and just take it for what it's worth. We are not in the harvest. We're in the gleanings. We're in the gleanings. I probably grew up, Pastor Mike, we probably grew up in the harvest. I can remember going to church. A Baptist, Bible-believing Baptist church, little community, little neighborhood, little local church that went from 130 to 400 to 800 to 2,000 to 3,000. I can remember seeing people get saved by the dozens on a Sunday morning. No fanfare, no hyper-diaper stuff. Somebody got an open King James Bible, a choir sang, some congregational, just what we do, oh, minus the choir, we don't have place for it. We'll work on that as years to come, okay? That book was honored. And the Spirit of God saved people. That was Canton, Ohio. Do you know there was a time when the Spirit of God roamed the streets of New York City so hard that men and women came to know Jesus? Do you know that Rochester, New York was literally closed down? The bars and the halls of ill repute and all of that stuff because of one man's preaching, Finney. That was harvest, boy. Now, I know you watch TV and you see stadiums being filled to capacity. But did you ever listen to the messages that are filling those stadiums to capacity? I bet you'd be hard-pressed to find the word repentance. I bet you'd be even harder-pressed to find the word sinner somewhere in that message. Oh, you can give people what they want to hear, but if we're in a gleaning right now. We're in a gleaning. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. And in this gleaning, things get tough in the gleanings. It's harder to get the product in the gleaning. The amount of things you gather in the gleaning, whatever it might be, is less. Look at Isaiah chapter 7. And look at verses 14 through 16. Because Moses talked about choosing. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Look at verse 14. Now this is the great sign of the virgin birth. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And in verse number 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. We know that signs, mainly and especially for Jews, the nation of Israel, behold, a virgin shall conceive. That was the sign. Bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, simply means God with us. Butter and honey, verse 15, shall he eat, that he may know. Now watch what it says here. All man, and yet all God. But God manifest in the flesh, and tempted in all fashions as we are, yet without sin. And I'm not sure I like, and I've said it, and I probably should, I try to correct myself. Jesus Christ was not sinless. He was without sin. You say, what's the difference? I don't know. I just don't like the word sinless. Okay? I like the words without sin. All right? Because he was tempted in all fashions like as we are. Doesn't mean he was without temptation, because he was. Could he have been tempted? Well, if the devil tempted him, and Jesus Christ could not have been tempted, the devil's one big fat fool. And next to Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you tonight, you're not smarter than the devil. We're just not. The individual was second in command up there. He had the covering of the throne. He was the personification of wisdom and beauty. Now, he's not like that today, probably, from the Word of God. But look what it says in verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. There's the humanity of Jesus Christ. Refuse the evil, choose the good. For before the child shall know. Now, notice it doesn't say before the Son of God. It says before the child. Let me just stop right there and run just a small little rabbit trail. There's a lot being said about Jesus, 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 Jesus. But not often do you hear the full name, Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was his earthly name. But the day I met him as Lord Jesus Christ. And if Keith Miguel was here tonight, he'd see me point in all three directions. The young man stole my speech cadence. He stole my... Is he back there? Oh, son of a gun. The young man stole my speech cadence, stole my body language. And I'm too old to start all over again and learn it all over again, brother, because I'm not sure how I learned it the first time. It just happens, you know. But we talk about Jesus when his actual name is Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand that's part of his name. But it says, the child, before the child, in verse 16, shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. He was tempted in all fashions as we are, yet without sin. This is why Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my supreme example. I understand Paul's doctrine is what God, Jesus Christ, gave us for the church age. I totally understand that. But don't ever miss the fact, Paul didn't die for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Okay. Paul was saved by the same Savior that you and I are saved by. Yes, I follow Pauline doctrine because that's what God established. Those books, it's and you read them, they start out Paul, 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 until it gets down to the pastoral epistles, then it changes a little bit. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. Would you, let's go back. Look at verse 26. Our time's going to get away from us. Go back to Hebrews with me. Because this next point builds from the previous point. And if you read verse number 26, verse number 25 said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And before we read 26, just a fast comment, don't ever think there's not pleasure in sin. There is. But the Bible says there's only pleasure in sin for a season. Some of us weren't saved as Sunday school, as children. I thank God my boys were saved as kids, at least two of them. The other one was saved early 20s. I've got grandchildren that are saved, Deb and I. Some of your children are saved. And I hope to God they never have to be scarred by tasting things that they shouldn't taste, by seeing things that they should not see, by touching things that they should never touch, by walking in places where they should never walk. Because I will tell you this, I've been saved 41 years, and you know what? The scars are still back here. And I get up every morning and the devil says, just pick up that piece of baggage. You know the one you liked so well. And as I shave this bald head, a piece of baggage is right there. That sin that I had pleasure in. And old slew foot, old split foot just says, pick it up. I don't care whether you've been saved 40-some years or not. Just pick it up one more time. And the Spirit of God says, leave it sit, boy. You've been delivered from that. Leave it sit. Leave it sit. Walk away from it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you watch a pastor, my beloved pastor back there, sometimes nobody walks on water in this church. Okay? Have we been saved a long time? Yeah. You don't know the struggles that all of us go through. I don't care whether you're in a leadership position or not. But by the grace of God, what you do every day is you refuse to walk in the flesh. You covet walking in the Spirit of God. You get enough of that book inside you that it changes you forever. It's no more complicated than that, folks. Look at verse number 26. Verse number 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm convinced that the reason why some of God's people never seem to get past a certain growth level is basically two things. Number one, somewhere along the line, they just refuse to choose. They just kind of have become dabblers. They really have not become disciples. I read this in a book that I just recently read about Martin Burnham, the missionary that was killed over in the Philippines several years ago. But he said, you know, God didn't call me to be a missionary. He said this to his home church in the Midwest before they're leaving. He said, God didn't call me to be a missionary. And God didn't call me to the Philippines. God called me to be a follower. A follower. Whatever that means, you may stay in the same place forever. That's okay. And I'm not to look and say, think one thing, because that's between you and the Lord. But be a follower. Make choices. Be willing to make a small decision. A man took one verse. The borrower is servant to the lender. And he said, he told me the other morning, he said, Brother Pat, that verse changed my financial life. And it will. It's only one verse. But you know why we don't esteem? Do you know why we don't value something with such a high regard? Is because we're really not disciples. We dabble. And I know we've got babes in Christ in our church. And all I can say is just stay doing what you're doing. I talk as this guy who's been at this a long time, and many times we do. But I want to just slow down. If you just got saved, man, just be patient. Just stay where you're at. Continue reading. Continue fellowshipping. Get around some good, godly people. Consume the book. Get it in you. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Esteeming it. Valuing it so high. And notice the contrast there. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Because there will always be a comparison. There will always be something that is offered by the standards of the world that we live in that will tempt you away from esteeming Christ. Always something. And you can plug anything in there you want. It can be anything. And I know some of you want me to name some things. You know what? You plug in anything you want to want. You know, if it takes me away from esteeming, from placing such a high value for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are some things. And I quoted this little passage some time ago, if I can find it. C.S. Lewis. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Do you want to know why things of this world really do not satisfy the child of God as hard as we try? Because once you came to know Christ, you were translated spiritually to another world. I'm not even living here anymore. You're looking at this overweight 61-year-old body. That's all you're looking at. Do you know where you are tonight? You're seated in the heavenlies. You're already there. I'm already there in Jesus. I'm waiting on my body to be. You know, I took a look in the old black book. I'm already there. Basically, this is kind of like, and I'm going to say it wrongly, it's like almost going through the motions. I'm already up there. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Will you go to Luke chapter 16 with me? Luke chapter 16. I like to evaluate things. I like to try to figure out why I do certain things and why I don't, and why other people do certain things and why they don't, and once again you're on into sweeping somebody else's porch, which is bad. But it's good to look back sometimes, and you get to a certain point in your life where you can look back, and it's like, how did we ever get this far? And I'll tell you, the Word of God, and I just to me, this whole thing of knowing Christ either was going to work in my life or it was of no value. Anybody can go to church. There's a lot of people going to church. Tonight, across this nation and across this world, there's a whole bunch of meetings like this in some form or another. But if this thing doesn't work, look at Luke chapter 16. And look at verse number 15. Jesus is answering the Pharisees here, and he says, verse number 14, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify themselves before men. God knoweth your hearts. For that which is, now watch this statement, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now that's a loaded, that's a loaded statement, don't you think? Because you want to know something? There's a lot of things that I could rattle off tonight that are esteemed highly in the world. And it doesn't necessarily make them wrong. It's just that they're highly esteemed. But as far as comparing them to my esteeming Jesus Christ, they don't win place or show. He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. When you and I begin to esteem things, when Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, because that's the point. The point was esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures. Now, reproach and treasure, who wouldn't want to have treasures? I'm not crazy about this reproach thing. I'm going to be honest with you. Still to this day, I'm not crazy about this reproach thing. But it comes with the package, beloved. If Jesus Christ was good enough to save me, how dare I just give my life to anything that comes along? There are some things I've settled in my mind and my heart. I don't want to be a dabbler. Well, I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Jesus Christ did not call us to be dabblers. He called us to be disciples, followers. Another thought on that. Go to, let me give you three things. We're running out of time. Go to, give you three things to esteem. Go to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Give you three things to esteem. I'm making good choices. I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. There are no people on the face of this earth who I'd rather be around than the people of God. Don't ever forget that we're kin. My boys, when we walked in, go to Job. My boys walked into a little store. We were all together down south working. Go to Job chapter 23. And if you get my boys lined up beside each other, it's like the Great Wall of China. One's about 3'10", one's about 3'20", the other one's about 285. And then there's me, and I'm overweight, and I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. But all of a sudden, we're standing there, and the guy, you know, we're construction workers at the time, and we look, smell like construction workers, and Nate's got this beard, you know, that comes out, and he braids it, and if you looked at Nate, you'd say, man can't possibly know God, but he knows him pretty well, all right. He's another one of those books, if you look at the cover, okay, you wouldn't read the book. Don't get where you just throw the book away because the cover looks a little rough. Lady looks at them and she says, she just looks at them. I'm standing over here by myself. And she looks at the three of them and all of a sudden, in a heavy North Carolina, probably Georgia, and she lives in North Carolina, heavy draw, man. She looks at the three of them and she says, your boys must be kin. She didn't even know who they were. She said, you boys must be kin. You know what? There are things, you and I are family. If we ever miss this point, keep something in mind. This isn't about how much you know. This is about how much God gets of your heart. I've seen folks that didn't know much about the Bible and they went around the world. Now, we're wanting you to learn the Scriptures. That's why we're here. And it's very vitally important. But in that knowing, don't ever lose the point. If we lose the heart, and thus far we haven't, but if we ever lose the heart of why we're here, we'll just become another factory for knowledge. Another factory. We are here to know God in such an intimate way that people will be drawn to Jesus Christ, magnifying the Son of God. Look at Job chapter 23 and verse number 7. Three things, and we're going to have to quit. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Let me give you three things to esteem. Three things that have such a high value. They have just this high intrinsic value. It's not a matter of I place value on them. They inherently have this value. Look at 23:12 in Job. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus was hungry. The disciples were hungry and they had cornered Jesus a little bit about it in the Gospels. And he told them, listen, I have food that you don't even know the deed of yet. I must be about my Father's business. You know what we're supposed to esteem, number one? We're supposed to esteem the words of his mouth. This is all I know. You won't find more. The creation speaks of a designer. The heavens declare the glory of God. But if you want to know something about Jesus Christ and the blueprint for living, you've got to spend some time in this book. There's just no easy way to get around it. We've got many of our young people going to college. And you know what? The professor just doesn't say, well, you take the textbook and you go like this on top of your head. And you do that for 6 months, and hopefully you learn something. You learn by osmosis. No, you know what that professor's going to do? He's going to say, listen, you've got this textbook, and I've written some of it, and some other men have written some of it, and I want you to read every word of it. Every word. And before you graduate, he starts to test you on it. Just to see whether you've read his textbook or not. Do you know why the Spirit of God doesn't use me more, perhaps? It's because I don't have enough of the book in me so that He has something to work with. The only way the Spirit of God has anything to work with is if I get this book in me. And as I said, some of you are just recently saved. And you know what? Be patient. Take time with it. Just realize that some of us are saved a long time and will those of us who are realize that some of us are not. Take time. Slow down. Read. You say, I don't understand what I read. Neither did I. I still read things. You ask Pastor Mike. How many times you read something and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, Father, I still don't get that. I don't know what he's saying there. I get into Ezekiel and this is flying and these wheels are rolling. And it's like, Lord, good night, Father. And I know it's important. And I'm just trying to get through the names in the book of Chronicles. And, and understand the spirit walking, the flesh. And it's like, Lord, Paul sometimes writes, and I sometimes scratch my head even what Paul writes sometimes. It's like, Lord, I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Give me some help, and he does. And he does. Here's another one. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Give me two more of these two and then we'll quit. I know I said that. I'll hold myself to it. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse number 3. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The problem with the children of Israel, if you went back and read Deuteronomy 32:15, and don't go there, but it said they lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation, of his salvation. They lightly esteemed it. The great value that it had, they didn't recognize it. They refused. Thusly, they did not end well. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. You talk about practical living. Here's the great practical living of the Apostle Paul. Talks about the if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, up in verse number 1. Verse number 2 says, fulfill you my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. Now look at verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Here it comes. Are you ready for it? Let each esteem other better than themselves. You want something to live on or work on the rest of your Christian? You want something, as Paul would write, work out your own salvation? Every day you get up, realize I'm to esteem you better than me. That's what it says. Now, you're not taught that as an American citizen. You're just not. And neither am I. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse number 4, look not every man on his own things. Me, my four, no more. Let me just take care of myself, but every man also on the things of other. Do you know that's what ministry is? Ministry is looking out for the benefit of somebody else. This thing that we do up here called preaching, it's such a little minuscule part of ministry. It's what's going on out here among God's people. I'll be honest with you. If I can live that verse, I wouldn't have any troubles in my life. If you could live that verse toward me, you wouldn't have any troubles in your life. We'd be a trouble-free church, brother, if we could just esteem each other better. You won't keep your life? Give it away. Lay your life down for somebody. You say, why? Because eternity is a long time. It's a long time. You're going to blink. And you're going to be in the last season. 70. That's 70. You might get 80. Personally, I don't want to go there. Not what I see of 80. It doesn't look very appealing to me. I feel like Rip Van Winkle, who woke up and all these years went by. You esteem the Word of God more than your necessary food. You esteem others better than yourself. Let me give you one last one. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, if I can say it right. We're going to go there, and I'm going to qualify. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to qualify when we read this, because sometimes the Lord says things And you may hold an office that the Lord gives you. You may be an elder in a work, in a Bible-believing church. You may have been chosen to be a deacon. It's a position, only two offices in the Word of God, deacon and pastor. And elders who are trained move up. Okay? So sometimes the Lord will say something, and sometimes I even cringe, because the Lord works through His people many times, and sometimes it's you read a verse and I say to myself, man, it sounds a little self-serving. You know, I almost don't want to read the verse. But I want you to notice something. Have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Esteemed others better than myself. Now look at verse chapter 5, first Thessalonians chapter 5, and if I can get this right, be patient with me. Verse number 12. I get it right here. Verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Let me say this to you. Do you know what a privilege it is to be an elder in this work? It is not a burden. It is not a responsibility. It is not a duty. It is a privilege. A blessed privilege. There is nothing more important upon the face of this earth than this body of believers who have a desire to magnify Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't write that. And I probably wouldn't have said that, truthfully, because that's just the way I'm wired. But God says, you know what? When you've got elders in a work who pour their heart into teaching, preaching, ministering, laboring, caring, loving, you know what Paul just said? Esteem them very highly for the work's sake. And this is a level playing field, beloved. You are a priest, I'm a priest, and he's the only high priest. And it's a level playing field. Three things to esteem we have to quit. Let's bow our heads.